this podcast, it's revealed. For the breakdown left tonight, black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night.
What's going on, everybody? It is it's Thursday, February 27th. You're listening or watching, or I don't know, I'm cracking one right now. This in a while. This is an episode of the Boiler Breakdown Podcast. My name's Evan. Here with me is our good friend Aaron. Aaron, how you doing tonight?
Doing very well. How about yourself?
Been better. Been better. Before we get started, we do want to. It's a little somber note, but the reason Aaron's on, which we appreciate you being on, Aaron, is Tanner couldn't be on tonight. Unfortunately, he had a death in the family. His grandfather, Jerry, passed away. So we send our thoughts and prayers to Tanner and all his family. Jerry was an awesome dude. As Tanner, we were talking earlier today, he went to Purdue for about a year and a half. And I think that kind of set the domino effect for Tanner's dad to eventually go there and Tanner to go there, and kind of the reason why we were friends in high school, all that kind of stuff. So, much love to Tanner and all his family, and looking forward to having him on hopefully next week. But yeah, so appreciate being on, Aaron.
Yep. Not a problem tonight.
Another somber note is just Purdue basketball right now, man. It is not, fun to be a Purdue fan right now. Last week, I guess we did record after the Michigan State game. So we were previewing the Indiana game. So since then, Purdue has lost, it's four straight. The first time since the 2019-2020 season, after dropping one, in Bloomington by a score of 73-58, a game which saw the Boilermakers up 12 at half, really kind of in the half, like looking really, really good. If you're listening last week, I was not feeling good going to that game. I mean, I don't think anybody was. And that last like 10 minutes kind of really put my mind at ease and thought, I even texted Andrew and Tanner saying these next 4 minutes in the second half are going to be what defines this game. And it took about 30 seconds to me to feel like, oh God, it's going the opposite way.
Yep. I gotta say, Renee took over the game. I mean, but points off turnovers, and was it 11 of the 13 turnovers came in the second half? And I know they scored 19 points off those turnovers. I felt like it was kind of a broken record from, besides the lobs and the dunks from Tuesday night. The one, the ball, I was like, oh gosh, now we're getting this guy above the rim. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They got a lot of soul searching, because it don't get easier in regards to perimeter defense and turnovers. UCLA is one of the top in the conference in regards to creating turnovers, especially on the perimeter. Coming to Mackey tomorrow, so Sunday was probably one of the tougher losses, I would say, since Northwestern. Now 2023, the end of the first week of Big Ten season.
Last year. Yeah, that was a tough one.
This one I would put up there, really, really tough because of coming in on a three-game losing streak, being up double digits at half, and then,
Essentially kind of, helped them. Now they're being on the right side of the bowl. I mean, a loss to us, it wouldn't have been a killer, but, just takes away another marquee victory for them. So now we're kind of making their season after, credit to them. They came out and fought in the second half, and didn't give up like teams in the past had. But yeah, it was ugly.
And I 4 weeks ago, I thought that team, how they were heading, especially coming out of that loss against us and Mackey. Yeah. I definitely thought that how their season was going, they're going to, fold in and just, I think probably the news of, pack it in. Yes. The news of Woodson that decision,
stepping, I think, down, is probably air quotes
being asked to leave very nicely and gracefully.
Yeah.
We'll put it that way.
Either retire or you're fired. Yeah.
Correct. And leave with some dignity, which, he's 500 against us in 4 years, 4 years. So
he's had success against Michigan State too. He's had, yeah. I don't know what record, but like that's been one of those teams where he's had success against pretty Michigan State, but you know, can't beat Iowa. can't beat Northwestern. But like I do wonder, and I brought this up to Tanner and Andrew in our group chat. It felt like, especially in the game on Sunday, that the fact that Woodson knows he's not coming back, he's like, screw it, I'm just gonna play as that. I know we'll win and play the right way, and you know, NIL guys be damned. Like, you know, he sat in Baco the entire second half, played like 11 minutes that entire game. And the guys you saw, which I mean, no surprise to Purdue fans, and what we've been saying for the last, you know, 6 years is, you know, when Indiana has Indiana guys who care about, you know, this rivalry meet them to these guys, whether or not they want to admit it or not, you know, they play better. Obviously, you know, some of these guys want to win, but like, it just, you know, you can't tell me that, you know, Galloway and Leal didn't want to go, and Goody, you know,
and playing, Goody.
Obviously first time playing at IU against Purdue, but didn't want to go out, you know, getting swept for the second year in a row.
Correct. And I would have to agree. I think he's probably saying, forget it. You know, I'm already leaving. It doesn't matter what you guys think anymore. We're trying to make the tournament, especially for the people that are trying here. So
yeah,
you can't.
And they're trending in the right direction. Yeah.
Oh, they're definitely trending in the right direction. You know, I won against Penn State last night. I was expecting that.
Yeah.
They head out on their West Coast trip this weekend, correct?
Washington on Saturday, and then Oregon sometime, and then they their last game. Ohio State.
Okay, that Ohio State game is going to
be huge. I expect them to maybe split their West Coast trip, win at Washington, lose at Oregon, more than likely. But then, yeah, the Ohio State game is going to be huge for both teams. Really, I mean, Ohio State's definitely on the right side right now. I think they're safely in right now, but you never know.
You definitely don't know with the bubble, especially conference tournament week starting next week. With the lower conferences, especially when you get some of these mid-major conferences that do have a ranked team or a team that's locked in and get bumped out, that just moves some of these mid-majors out. It's going to be interesting, you know, with money and stuff like, moving forward.
Yeah. Someone like Drake doesn't win their conference. All of a sudden that's a bid stealer. Like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Or someone in the WCC, cause St. Mary's has already won the conference. Gonzaga, I don't know where Gonzaga's at. I know they've been disappointment this year, but I don't know if they're. I assume they're in it. I remember. I haven't looked for them in a while, but if someone come out of that conference, you never know.
I'm actually looking up right now. Gonzaga's third. They're behind San Francisco and St. Mary's leading.
Interesting.
Did not realize Oregon State was playing in that conference for basketball.
No, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, it was just. I mean. Not sure what he can say about Sunday that hasn't been said loudly already. This is the most disappointing, I think, is just seeing, you know, a team that has a lot of guys who played a lot of basketball just kind of crumble very easily.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I just really think that 10-game stretch without a legit, you know, fourth option on offense and defensively in regards to a post presence that can, A, protect rim, said be an influence around the basket.
Right.
It was going to be hard to keep up what they were doing in regards to ball movement and not getting in foul trouble. I mean, I'll ask you. First and Coffin Run have been foul trouble, especially the last couple games. Is it a footwork issue in regards to not getting there? What do you think it is? Because I was watching it Sunday. And I was like, what is going on?
I don't know. It's a good question. I think it's just teams just know that they can attack the rim against this team just because we don't have that presence down low that's going to – you know, like you want to have a, you know, a tree down there like Zachy that's going to, you know, at least make them think about it. These teams just know that, hey, like the tallest guy down there is 6'10", like let's go at it. And so I think you just have obviously a lot more plays at the rim, which just increases your opportunities for fouls. You know, part of me, and this is just like little conspiracy theory of me, like hating Big Ten refs, so just like, as like, you know, does Purdue often have a reputation that they are a team that fouls or something like that, where it's like, oh, look out for these guys because they're fouling all the time. Like, you know, don't let them get away with it. I have no idea. That's just me.
Well, the reason why I'm asking that question is because the foul rate's increased. I mean, teams are now getting in the bonus a lot sooner in the half.
Yeah.
And that's what I wondered was, especially from both First and Coffin Wren, is it a footwork issue in regards to timing, in regards to shifting over, being late? Is it communication?
I think communication is definitely a thing for sure. It sounds like just from what Painter said after the game, it sounds like they're just not connected as they once were. And I think also maybe part of that too plays into just, which it happens going long stretches without like true days off or true days of like actual practice. Cause the way these guys' schedules are now, like, you know, you get a day off after a game, or maybe it's like a walk or something like that. But like, you don't get a chance to really practice during the season unless you have like a week off like they had this week, to where they can, you know, actually work on stuff. Cause it's all just, you know, prepping for the next team and scheme that way. I wonder if that had something to do with it too. It sounded like they had a couple of days off this week, and it even actually sounded like, I was watching some interviews today, that Trey Coffin Wren actually called a players only meeting the other day. Which he said it's the first time he's had one like that. That was like, that wasn't like just like goal oriented. He goes, we have one all the time, like before and after the season, about like goals and stuff. But like, this was like the first he's had of like midseason stuff since his redshirt freshman year, which would have been Ivy's sophomore year.
It would have been the 21 season.
21-22 season. Yeah. So like, which that team obviously went through its little, some struggles too. But he said it was really, he said the next practice was the best practice they've had in months. So I'll take it for what it's worth. It sounded like a lot of guys were able to speak up. He even kind of mentioned that like Jakari said something about like the body language of the older guys, which I think is spot on. Like, you just see, I think that's one thing too, of just like, this is a point, is, you know, seeing guys like Braden Fletcher, Trey, like something doesn't go their way, like their body, which is awful. And that obviously, you know, can affect the rest of the team, those being the three leaders. I'm hopeful that maybe, you know, sparks something and kind of gets these guys feeling maybe, you know, a little more loose going into Friday, going into tomorrow's games. It's like you said, it's not going to be an easy one. That's for sure.
It's not. I was wondering if it was, I mean, I did hear Painter's thing about communication, but I feel like it's footwork also being late in regards to shit rotating over. So just from what I was seeing, I didn't know if you were saying the same thing. You know, you could go into the other spectrum of probably what the message board was, what other fans, the transfer, stuff like this. No, you play with what you got here. But I also kind of was telling Tanner, I thought this, I want to say this very, very positively. Like, this team's over. Like, in the eyes of where, like, there's all this expectation of what you came back from, a national title run. Great. Mm-hmm. But you've lost the grit of that team. And Gillis.
He's at Duke right now.
Yep. Yes. You lost probably some leadership and Morton off the bench too, just being there talking with guys.
100%.
So you're putting more on guys that had passive roles in regards to this. They're stepping up. There was going to be a learning curve. There was a bunch of guards. Jacobson going down. Probably.
Yep.
Maybe we don't average a block a game. Maybe we average two with him.
Yeah, and who knows, like, I mean, like, he was so, and Brian Ubers said this all the time, but it's like, you know, he could have been, you know, he very well could be coming to his own and, like, being awesome, but he also could just be unplayable because he just can't, like, he could really guard Ballo. Like, Ballo's massive.
No.
Like Golden from Michigan, like, put him on the ground.
Like, even Cheddar from Michigan would have, like, schooled him in regards to footwork. Like,
yeah.
No. like, but I he would have given spurts.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not averaging one block a game.
Yeah, I'm surprised even that high.
So the other thing is you can blame Heidi and Cole, you know, Colvin in regards to this. I don't
even like these last two games, like they've played better. Like they've actually hit shots the last two games. Yeah, it's
it's hard with trying to come off the bench and be that productive, especially when you're your team's behind and you're being asked to come in and provide a spark. Like that's a hard role. And
yeah, I guess one thing I didn't really think about at the time, but I guess hindsight's 2020, but I am a little surprised that we didn't see Colvin start the second half just because he hits, he played so well to end that half. And, CJ did okay, nothing crazy. I mean, he has defensive stops, but, you've seen that before where a guy really comes off the bench and plays really well. Like, it's not uncommon for Painter to start them in the second half. And, but I have no idea. Who knows? I'm not sure it really would have mattered.
I will say this. I look back at was a tough stretch. Like Sunday was a rough game. Friday, tomorrow could be a rough game.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think at the end of the day, like if you look back at the season and say where you started, what that season was, I got to say that they overachieved for what.
Yeah, it was like it's funny because I don't know if we said it before or if it was after this game or if it was after the state game where it's like, if you had told us before the season that Purdue was going to be four seed in the NCAA tournament, we probably would have been like, absolutely, it'll take it all day long. But then now that's actually happening, it's like just because of the fact that, just 2 weeks ago, Purdue was knocking on the door of being a one seed. Like they were like the number five seed in Lunardi's bracketology, which is wild to think about. The fact that's just kind of come crashing down to like what we thought a good season would look like. That's just kind of the nature of how seasons go.
But the model they were playing that 10-game stretch was unsustainable.
Like, yeah, you're right.
It was, if you look at the stats, it was completely unsustainable to ask your point guard to play Pete Maravich level, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And TKR to, like, two guys leading it and then defensively sit here and rotate and have guys run in and hit a few shots every now and then. Like it was going to catch up to them at some point in regards to teams were going to get their rest week. They were going to figure it out. We were going to play some better competition. And I think there's nothing this team has anything to be ashamed about. Like I know they want to go higher. I know they want to get back to the Final Four. But when you look at what pieces you got, I don't think you could ask any much more.
Yeah, I think just where the frustration comes in is like, for me, and it was just like, I don't think quit's the right word, but just like, this feels like this team more so than the last two or three that like when they get down, it's like, there's not a whole lot like of, whereas like last year and even the year before, we'd see, if they got down, they still fight back. And there was 2 years ago, they still lost, but like at Indiana, they got down like 15-20 in the first half and crawled back and like got it within like three, never were able to get over the hump. But like they fall back and they've done that a little bit. Like, Michigan State and a little bit of Michigan was like they get within like six, and same with like IU, they get within like six and then layup or three or something, whereas like, they can't get over that hump, and then it just snowballs into, it's crazy to think that who knows how it would have been different, but if, that first possession of the second half, if, Braden doesn't, the ball that hits the bottom of the backboard, Purdue gets the ball there, Miles Rice doesn't hit a three, and add two straight after that, Purdue turns it over, and it was a 5-point game within 30 seconds. Never know. That's basketball. And it's how crazy college basketball is, but it's just, little things.
It is. And I still go back to you. We're asking these guys to be roles that, Edie was the best player in Purdue history, in my opinion.
Yep. It's hard to argue against it.
You were going to have growing pains. You never experienced this. Like high school is different. Everything, AAU, travel ball, everything is completely different. You're asking freshmen and sophomores to look up to you in regards to lead that. And First really hasn't played since he was a freshman a lot.
Right. And Braden's never really had to be a leader. I mean, he's a junior, so he's had 2 years, but like.
But him and Fletcher has never had the lead. It was Edie and Gillis and Morton kind of setting the tone.
Yep. And same with Trey. Same with TKR. Yep. Like he mentioned in his interview with the media day that, like, you know, when their players meet, he talked about how, like, he wants to be, he's feel like he's getting better as a leader, but it's still tough. But he's also like, I mean, I've done about every position I think of, you know, came in as a freshman, sure did, you know, my first year playing, I basically played when Zach got in foul trouble. And then last year I played, but I split minutes with Mason. Like correct. He's kind of, now he's obviously in the, you know, full starter role. So he's definitely run the game, which is nice because he can kind of relate to really about anybody on that team. But yeah, like you said, like, it's guys learning new things and you hopefully they can grow from it and get better and, you know, all come back next year with a vengeance, you know, and have that motivation to get to Indy for another Final Four on their last go around.
I think that they will. I think if any of them listen to this podcast, like, literally look at yourself in the mirror and just, you have nothing to be ashamed of. Like, there's difficulties within regards to whatever you're going to do. Like, and many fans, like, they're disappointed, but I'll say this podcast is positive in regards to, we think you've overachieved in regards to where you
thought. You didn't want to talk to me on Sunday. Oh boy, I was.
I went for a walk just like positive. Tanner, and I was like, eh.
Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. Tanner, for those who don't, Tanner, first time he's done this in a long time, he shut the game off at 13 minutes and he said he took the dog for a walk, which he never does, according to his wife. I did went on a walk as well, but it was after the game. 2 years ago when they won Mackey, I left the house early before the game was over. This guy waited till the end and took a nice long stroll to calm myself down, and it didn't. That was a frustrating one. And we knew, even going into this year, we thought this stretch was going to be a tough one with Michigan, knowing they're going to be better than what they were last year. It's not hard to be worse than what they were last year. You know, at Michigan, at Michigan State, at Indiana, you know, and UCLA, who was, you know, one of the preseason favorites for the Big Ten, you know, one of the picks besides, you know, Purdue, IU, UCLA were usually the top three picks. And they're standing down the barrel of 0-4.
0-5.
Or 0-5, yeah. 0-5.
That Wisconsin game was a little disappointing. That
second. Oh, the Wisconsin. I forgot Wisconsin there too, yeah. So it's, yeah, it just sucks that, you know, the three-peat was right there, and, you know, it's pretty much impossible. When I was with Michigan State winning last night, you know, you can't improve all but eliminated now, but, you know, all you can do is, you know, maybe work for something in the Big Ten tournament. Not that I really care about the Big Ten tournament, but I think now it's just, you know, trying to get a better seed, because I'd almost rather have a 6 seed than a 4 or 5. I don't know. I just hate that 4 or 5 line so much.
It's
too much PTSD from like 2016 or 2018 of just being a 4 or 5 and always either getting past the first round and then losing to the, you know, getting blown out by the number 1 seed in the Sweet 16 or something. But
it's, well,
Sweet
16, I still think is overachieving in hitting this team's floor. I think you learn a lot.
Thought if they get the second weekend this year going into the year, I thought that'd have been, I will take that, you know, in a heartbeat. Just the fact that you can get out that first weekend, after your runner up year, assuming everybody comes back and all that kind of stuff, but who knows, but that's a topic for another day.
It is topic for another day. Should we, I guess, pay some bills before we get into tomorrow night's game?
Yeah, we can. First and foremost, I'm trying to remember how to do all this stuff here. Oops. Thank our sponsor, Mad Mushroom. If you're listening to this, you're probably, it means it's the 20th, which means it's the very last day of the month, which means if you're going to be in town for the UCLA game, stop on by for the pizza of the month, which is the Mad Chili. It's their signature hand-tossed, covered in house-made chili, onions, jalapenos, mozzarella, and cheddar cheese, finished with corn chips, starting at $14. Where's our little thing here? But if you you can stop on by, or you can order online if you use code BREAK5. You get $5 off any order, $20. So shout out to Mad Mushroom. Been a great sponsor for us since the beginning of this thing. So happy to have them back on board.
Mad Mushroom.
Give you some cheese sticks. Cheese sticks would have made Sunday feel a lot better, that's for sure.
It would have. Definitely would have.
Did you listen to last week's episode?
Listened to part of it. Then I got called into a bunch of meetings.
Okay, so I'll ask you. I mean, it was geared towards Tanner. Did you hear my top five segment?
No, I did not.
Okay, so I took it from him and our other good buddies podcast where I'll ask you the same ones, even though some of these are geared towards Tanner's because I was asking him. I'm gonna give you five, I'm gonna give you a topic, and there's five options, and you have to blind rank them. So you get to rank them 1 through 5, one best or whatever in your personal preference, but you don't know what's coming next.
Okay.
And so sorry for those who've already listened, but we're trying to fill some airtime because I don't talk about basketball. So this was top Purdue or West Lafayette establishments from our time as students.
Ooh.
So for those who don't know, we were in school. Aaron's a year, the same year as Tanner, but we were in school roughly between 2011, 2012 to 2015. So around that time, 2015, 2016. So this is the credit you're ranking on just your own personal preference or favorites. Number one, coming out hot, Harry Shop.
I gotta say,
I'm gonna change one.
Okay.
It's still sticking Harry's, but I'm gonna change one of these to something that. Yeah. So you're going number one, Harry.
I'm going number one. I'll be honest. I spent a lot of mornings there at 10 a.m. Random times, people. Yes.
I thought they opened at 11. At least I thought they opened at
11. No, they opened at 10.
Number two, XXX.
Man. Oh, Guy Fieri. I'm going to say four.
Four, okay. Actually, I'm going to change two of these to the actual ones that you would have.
Because
I'm
not sure. Changing on them on me.
Okay. Number three, the Cactus.
I'm going to put three.
Number three. Okay. Number four, it's I'm not sure if you went great. Here with us. Not sure if you went here. Did you ever go to Monocles off 52 by Taylor's apartment?
Yes.
Okay.
I lived there.
Oh, that's right. You did. My bad. Monocle.
Five.
Oh, man. Fighting words. That was 10-1.
We
went there every Friday.
Get that out of here. Wasn't that
number
great.
Five, Jake's.
That's two. I knew that one was coming.
Okay.
It's coming back.
So I swapped out the Cactus. The one I gave Tanner was McDonald's off Stadium in Northwestern because he and I would go there every Monday when there was a couple times, a couple semesters where our schedules lined up to where we had lunch at the same time essentially. And so we would do McDonald's Mondays and we'd go to the one off Stadium.
I thought you were going to go Where Else or Brothers, and I was afraid that would come up.
I hate both of those places. Sorry to anybody who loves those, but I did not like either one of those. Honorable mentions were Bruno's, The Villa in the Union, because Tanner and I would go there quite a bit. It was not. I said, and I couldn't remember the name of it, so in my notes I put the Italian place in the Union that you had a 50-50 shot of getting a warm piece of pizza after they warmed it up for you. Because they threw it in the oven, but it didn't always warm it up. And then I didn't want to put them in the actual because I didn't want to be biased, but Mad Mushroom was another one.
Okay.
But I swapped out McDonald's for the Cactus for you, but mine were Harry's, Jake's, Monocle's, XXX, and McDonald's. So
okay, so I mean we're close.
Yeah,
you could replace Mad Mush with Monocle's. Monocle's is okay to me. Just okay. I mean they are fighting words.
Yeah.
Hunter's Pub, Chumley's, I was afraid those would come up.
I almost threw on like some of the Lafayette ones, but I didn't know if Tanner had gone to those very often. Sergeant Preston was on there. I went to Chumley's only once or twice. DT Kirby's was another one I almost threw on there. There's quite a few that I was like, most like, I love Nine Irish. That was one I would put on there for sure.
Okay.
Tanner didn't really go there a whole lot, so I was trying to gear it towards him. But his was Monocles. I can't remember. Maybe Jake's. I don't remember. I'll have to go back and listen.
It would have to be Jake's.
Yeah.
It would have to be Jake's. If I have a true one, if I could do it, it would be Harry's, Jake's, Trivia Night, Wednesday Night, Jake's. Fantastic. Loved it.
Never did that. Yeah, never did that.
Gosh, that was my... You all complained about me, but I was going at random weird hours with other people. And you would never come with me. Like, Country Night's Cactus.
Absolutely not. Not my jam.
Definitely not your jam. Three, definitely the Cactus. Well, no, I'd probably put Grey House 3. I love their coffee.
Ooh, solid. I didn't even think about it. I love Grey House. I love Grey House.
Grey House coffee. Definitely Cactus, then 4. And Schoolhouse Chili. Missed that place.
I forgot about that. I don't know if I ever went there. But that's a name I hadn't heard in a while.
I had a punch card. That's how much I often visited there.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Monocles, yeah. It's okay.
Okay. I didn't know Monocles was like a very like Midwest, like Central Illinois thing. So when I moved to Indy, I saw they had one here and I freaked out. And then I had a job where I worked in Central Illinois. And they were like a Casey's essentially for us. So I was like, oh, it was Central Illinois. But yeah, I love Monocles. We'll fight on
and that. And I will say why it's okay is Tomato Bar, where I'm at, is so much better up here in Northwest Indiana. And so is Basbo's by you. I love
Basbo's. Basbo's is phenomenal. I've not had it in a while, but yeah, love Basbo's. All right, boys have a game tomorrow against the UCLA Bruins, team that Purdue has some history with, just simply from the fact that, you know, obviously one of the most notable Purdue players of all time, John Wooden, won a ton of championships there. Mm-hmm. And then obviously it's also where, you know, UCLA was the first team to ever play in the new at the time Mackey Arena in 1967. They actually had a video. I saw a video on Twitter today. It was that game, clips from that game in color, which was cool. Just wild to watch games from that. And Rick Brown scored like 25 points with no three-pointer.
Yep.
UCLA, I think by 2. But yes, I think this is big matchup. Like you said, you know, UCLA, they guard the hell of the ball, force a lot of turnovers. Don't have, I guess, one knock against them, they don't really have like one like go-to guy. They've got a few guys that can step up, but like no one's like, you know, game on the line, give it to this guy sort of thing. They want to keep the, you know, definitely keep it probably in the 60s. So I think if Purdue can get out and score and get, you know, a high scoring game, I like their chances. And it's going to come down to turnovers.
It definitely comes down to turnovers. They average the highest steals in the conference. Regards to, I think it's 8.3. If I remember, I saw this, Cronin, like their games, exactly what you're talking about. Their games, mm-hmm. if they play tight games and it's inside 4 minutes, we have a better shot of what, because they don't have a guy that they can just set up half court offense. Mm-hmm. Cronin's teams literally set it up on transition points, mm-hmm. and definitely playing off their defense. A lot of his Cincinnati teams did that anyways, mm-hmm. in regards to playing tough perimeter defense. This team definitely has more talent than those teams in the past.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly very concerned that.
Yeah. I wish, honestly, it's not out of the possible that Purdue loses the next three. Like, it is possible. Like, it's not like there's a, you know, we're not playing Washington at home, or we're not playing, you know, a Minnesota at home or anything like that. Like, they've got, you know, a tough team, UCLA. They've got Rutgers coming to town, which has got both their stars back and playing at an elite level. And it's Pikel. Pikel is, you know, one of the teams that's had, you know, Painter's number over the last couple of years. And then obviously you go to Illinois, which don't know what you're going to get with that team. A ton of talent, so that's always a concern. And you know, the way Purdue plays defense, they give up a lot of open threes, and Illinois likes to take them. And you give a team who likes to shoot threes some open ones, they're probably going to make them at some point, and that's not good. So it's definitely a must win, especially if Purdue wants to keep their streak alive of, you know, top four finishes in the Big Ten, because right now they're sitting tied for fourth with Maryland, but they do have the tiebreaker because they played them the one time, thank God, in December.
Yep.
Beat them then.
Yeah.
Because, man, Maryland looks good. Tough one last night. I was watching that. I was watching it live and jumped out of my seat. So I felt bad cheering for Michigan State, but we needed it from a Purdue standpoint.
They're going to make some noise in the tournament.
They should.
Wouldn't shock me if Maryland wins the Big Ten tournament too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that could be one. I guess before we pick some games, what's your score prediction, player of the game, and bold prediction?
Well, tomorrow we're going to have to shoot well. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing we've done well, I really feel, at home, is shoot well, and we're going to have to continue to shoot well into the second half, because I feel like first half we shoot well, we play great, usually stay up. 12-2 at home. Definitely, I think we're shooting. What are we shooting from the field at home? I thought it was like. Are we above 50% from field goals at home? I feel like we are.
I have no idea. I'm not sure. I don't have.
Sorry, I'm trying to remember as many stats as I can.
I believe it. So again, maybe like Basketball Reference. I don't know.
I'm looking at that. While you look that up, I was trying to find what the line was.
I don't see a line yet. I'm guessing
there's a line right now. So it's five. Okay. We're favored 5.5.
Okay. I was thinking like my guess was like between 3 and I was like probably at least 3 because it's home, probably closer to like 4 to 5.
Right now the line is at 5.5, point total 140.5. I probably see that right because they're averaging around 70 points a game is what we are too. Mm-hmm. It's just going to depend on regards to if we can shoot it and not have turnovers. If we turn the ball over, we're losing this game. Simple, pretty much simple as that. And if TKIR first get in the foul trouble and Burgess have to play some heavy minutes, I don't think we win this game. But that said, I think we do win this game. Mm-hmm. I think Kaufman Wren is probably player of the game. I think he has a double-double tomorrow. Probably 18 points, 10 boards. I hope we can make our free throws too. Score prediction tomorrow. 77-73, Purdue.
Okay, that's kind of close where I was. I was like 76-69, something like that. I'm going to go Braden play the game. He had a really rough one on Sunday. Definitely feeling it for sure. And then obviously with, you know, I'm sure he's hearing about how good UCLA guards are. So I think he'll be out for blood. And these guys head on straight. He's a monster out there. So if we can have that one, that version, I'll take it. Spicy prediction. Less than 10 team turnovers.
Ooh,
that's my prediction. Hey, it had to be bold.
It did have to be bold. Here's some stats. I found them. Last 10 games were average. Go ahead.
No, I was saying what I found was not what I was looking for. So you're good.
Yeah. So last 10 games, so our 5-5 record, we've been averaging 76.8 points a game, 28.3 rebounds, 13 assists, 7.5 steals, and less than a block a game. We're shooting 48% from the field, and we've given up 74 points per game. in UCLA, they're 8-2 in their last 10, averaging 73, 28.5 rebounds, 15.5 assists. But here's where the kicker is, and I'm where I'm concerned about tomorrow. They're averaging 7.4 steals and 4 blocks a game.
Wow.
And they're shooting.
They got a big dude from Spain. I've watched him a little bit. He's lanky, so we'll see.
They've been holding their opponents to 66 points a game. Now, okay. But I'm going to say this. They played Ohio State. They played Minnesota, which they lost to.
Yeah.
They played IU. Indiana. And they played Penn State, too, in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So take that with a grain of salt.
Still impressive, yeah.
It's still impressive because they have to travel out and they have to play on the road a lot. So, again, I think Cronin's ready. Have the guys ready for tomorrow. National primetime game.
Yep.
And t-shirt game, too. So the fans should be rowdy.
Yep. I'll be there. So wear your damn t-shirt. I guess just kind of thoughts before we kind of wrap it up and get the last sponsor. Any just overall Big Ten thoughts? I'd like to formally apologize. I'm going to say I talked a lot of crap about these guys. And, man, they made me look stupid.
I think this is probably Izzo's last shot at a Final Four. I really do.
Okay.
His team's good. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Maryland's very good. The KenPom rankings for them are flashing.
Mm-hmm.
They could hang with a Duke and Auburn. We'll see if they get the opportunity. I think this is going to be an entertaining Big Ten tourney in Indy in a couple weeks.
Should be. Yeah. Last back in Indy. Yep.
There's definitely, you know, we got some heavyweights, but I think there's some parity and definitely going to be those Thursday, Friday games.
So obviously the bottom three teams don't make the Big Ten tournament. And right now, at least according to my ESPN app, Iowa is that third team. At 6-11, and there's three teams above them also at 6-11. So it makes these bottom of the conference games crucial. I mean, tonight you got Iowa Northwestern, Northwestern 6-11, Iowa 6-11. So it's like that game really means something from a standpoint of just like making the Big Ten tournament.
Do you want, I guess, if you're in their boat, do you want to make the Big Ten tournament?
I think so, yeah. I mean,
do you think you're really going to have a shot to get to Sunday?
I don't know. You never know.
Or would you rather go hang out with your friends? I
think it just kind of depends on where you're at. Like, I mean, you look at someone like Northwestern, who is, like, just injured beyond belief. Which is still impressive given how they've fought in some of these games, given they don't have Barnheiser. They don't have, they've got one of their guards is out as well. So it's credit to them. I don't know. I feel like if you don't want
to
play.
Fran wants to just pack it up and go.
I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people in Iowa or where they're in Iowa City. Is that where they're at? They're ready to, part ways.
Butler's next head coach. Which is calling it?
Maybe they've got like some solid pieces, like Stanford and Freeman's out. So that obviously really hurts. Yep. But, How many Big Ten coaches do you think we have next year?
Three.
Iowa, Indiana, and who?
Do you think Washington makes a reset?
No. After a year? No. I don't think Penn State does.
Pikel?
What?
You think Pikel, because how disappointing this year's been?
I don't think so. I think they've turned it around a little bit to where it's not a complete embarrassment. Now what will be interesting is if someone like Cronin, like does he take the Indiana job if he's offered? I think he would.
No. I don't think he would.
His name's been floated. I think he would take. I think he wants to get. I think he's tired of the just after this 1 year, I think he's tired of the travel of having to go out to East. And, you know, frankly, they don't like, UCLA obviously historically awesome, but they don't just have the support that, you know, that they should get. I mean, you're in LA, so you're fighting everything known to man out there, but.
Dude, I guess if I'm Indiana, and I made this comment about a month ago on this podcast, mm-hmm. Do you not look at Mark Few?
I don't think he's closer to hanging it up than he is to taking another job.
You think it's just, if he has any, he's done everything he can at Gonzaga. Like Jalen Suggs ain't walking through that door. The Nimhart brothers, he's definitely, well, Chet Holmgren too. The Nimhart brothers, he's elevated those guys and to the best that they can play. Do you not want to go to like Indiana and have that opportunity?
I don't know. I think maybe, he's getting up there in age. I think he also just like loves that part of the country. I think he'd rather just, if anything, just hang it up and play it. I think he plays a ton of pickleball. Like, go play pickleball, dude. I'd wonder if something like with the way their season's going, does Bill Self decide to hang it up? I don't know. Like, would they call someone like Brad Underwood? I'm just throwing things out there. Like, I'm trying to get nuts with this thing. Like, I think Diebler sticks around another year. I think they've been able to kind of salvage. I mean, it's not great, but does Hoiberg get looked at by someone bigger?
Do they call Billy Donovan? That's the other name I'm thinking about because
Indiana.
Yeah,
I mean, might as well.
I mean, Jerry, he ain't going to win with Jerry and AK is your GM.
Yeah. No, you're not. But I also wonder, like, too, does he even want to come back to the college game? I mean, it's obviously, it's a little more close to the pros now, but it's still a lot less structure. You're closer to the EuroLeague than is anything else in terms of 1 year contracts. I think they look at probably obviously like a Scott Drew. I think
I don't think Scott comes back.
I don't think supposedly he values this job higher than he did Kentucky, which he turned them down. Sounds like Oates already said no. They'll probably call Bruce Pearl. I hope he doesn't take it.
Call Bryce Drew on Grand Canyon?
I think that'd honestly be a good. It wouldn't win people over, but I think that'd be a solid hire. I mean, obviously he comes from a great family and from the state and kind of an up and comer. I think the West Virginia coach, although like supposedly Iowa people want him really badly. I think they kick the tires on TJ Osterberger. I think he'd be a solid, which I'm not sure if he'd even want to leave Ames. Who knows? I have no idea. Who knows?
Wait. Which West Virginia coach?
Both of them. He's coming up. He's coming home.
God. I had to.
I've seen a bit. I think Drake's coach is going to probably get a look somewhere. Yep. He's only in his first year, but I threw his name out to a Nayu friend that we know, and he says his style of play is too slow for his liking, but he wins.
Beard.
That'd be interesting. I mean, he's one I think is obvious, but I don't think the administration would go for it. To their credit,
I honestly think you call Billy Donovan, you call Mark Few, you call Bryce Drew.
I'm sure they're gonna call all those people. God, who was the name that I heard thrown out there the other day? Cronin was one, and then I think someone all threw in Greyhard. But I don't think he would leave because he was on both staff, so
correct.
That's a good thing going. Although he was like,
you can call Monty Williams. I mean, he's already paid, so you can probably get him a cheap contract.
I think the answer's right there. Steve Alford. It's been there all along.
Not happening.
Steve Alford. Isaiah Thomas.
It's not happening. I guess before we kind of wrap up college football and talk a little.
I had one question. We had a question here from Mitch Melton. Back to our conference tournament. Does any other conference leave teams out of the conference tournament? I thought there was.
The ACC did.
Did they?
Yeah, because
I couldn't remember. Did the Big East leave teams out?
The real Big East.
Yeah.
Correct. So this isn't new. I thought the ACC did now, especially with SMU and Cal and
Stanford. I think you might be right.
Because I know Shrewsbury's team's like not gonna make it.
He may be a guy that, like he may have one more year with if they can't win next year with the talent they have coming in. I mean, I don't know. Like, I more of like he may look himself somewhere else. Like,
he coached IUSB. I didn't even realize that.
Oh, he did. I forgot about that.
He's definitely staying in Indiana, and there's not that many jobs. Where are you going to go? Indiana State, Ball State? Like, no, Indiana Notre Dame's the third best job in the state. It's better than Butler. Got more resources.
More resources, yes. I'd agree.
So, I guess the one question I'll have: who wins Big Ten Coach of the Year?
I think Izzo gets it now. I don't know. Like, I mean, I think it's Izzo or May. I think.
You don't think guard? I mean, that team was predicted to.
Yeah, he depends on like what is the criteria because like we've seen in the past where it's like, does it go to the best coaches, you know, the best team's coach? Does it go to the coach that, you know, maybe didn't win the conference but they overachieved? Because like we've seen Painter get on the short end of the stick on like for everything. Like, we've seen him like be the best coach and the best team not get it. We've also seen him have the like, I mean, 2 years ago, Purdue was predicted like middle of the pack and they win the whole thing and he doesn't get it. Like, it's just like, I don't know what the criteria is. I think it's either Izzo, May or guard. Izzo and guard for the same reason. Like, I think they were, especially Wisconsin, they were predicted pretty low. And I think Michigan State, we all kind of thought was going to be pretty mediocre. Then obviously Dusty May taking, you know, the fact that they took Michigan from 8 wins to having a shot at the conference.
But that team had talent.
Yeah.
They did have transfers, but that team had talent. That Wisconsin team, I didn't expect this.
Yeah. Yeah. Tanji's been a revelation. They're just solid. They're solid. But so, all right. Last thoughts you want to get hit?
Let's talk about the 2025 assistant coach salaries that published quickly.
Spending money. What, almost $6 million? Up about half a million from what Walter's staff was getting?
Yes. If folks didn't see, the salaries have been published because it's a public university and everything like this. So the salaries have been posted for the new coaching staff. And my God, Danny Hope got ripped off.
He did.
So... it blows my mind that our offensive line coach now is making as much as Danny Hope did.
Right. Years ago. Well, it's like, was it Jake Trump who's like 27 or something? He's making 350. Like, it's like,
yes.
Good Lord.
No, 300. Sorry. Jake's making 300. Oh,
my bad. $300,000 below 30 years old.
So,
yeah.
We're not, you know, saying money and, you know, kudos for these guys getting paid.
Yep.
College football coaches is probably the best job you can probably ever have because if you suck, you're still getting paid because it's guaranteed contracts, stuff like that. I think where I want to talk about, and for anyone listening still, do you feel like this is the school throwing money at a problem and saying, hopefully it works like any other big business? Or do we actually have a plan? Because I'm torn.
Yeah, I see both sides. Although I think this is maybe just me being the optimistic fan. I feel like, and maybe just because of just what we had and versus what we have now, like it just seems like there's just so much more direction. Like even to the point where we're seeing things of like You know, if you follow the social media team, like the Purdue football, like they're doing these, like the Winning Edge, which is funny, just giving where we're from. There was a store, a sporting goods store called that. So I can't not think of that whenever I see those videos. Like that's where I used to go as like an 8-year-old to get
wonder if he batting blinds gloves. All the time. I wonder if he drove blinds all the time on a recruiting trip.
Well, he said it came from his coach at Missouri and it came from a guy before him. And it just feels like it's just all about like fundamentals, which I'm just like, okay. That's a start because it feels like this the team last year just lacked just the basic details about how to play football. So that bodes well already. I think there's just the experience that is on the coaching staff. I feel like they have some plan that feels better to me than, but I can see both sides of the argument of just like we got to spend because we have to, it's just the way the world of college athletics is now. But I think we
threw money at a coach that was 500 at this level. That's what I'm concerned about.
I see that. Yeah. I also think he's still kind of got a part of a raw deal at Missouri. Just, I mean, he was young too. That was a thing. But I can see both sides, but I feel like there's something there. I don't know. That's just me being probably just optimistic. But
here, this is where I'm thinking, and I literally thinking just putting said work thought cap on.
Yeah.
Are we really going to set the actual standard of mediocre and being,
yeah,
hoping we get 500 record, paying this staff this much money? Because if that's the case,
it's tough because like you have to pay. I mean, you have to play the game. That's the thing, is like you have to play. You can't, you know.
Well, correct, because you're really, you have to.
Yeah, you can't.
It's revenue. You have to put you have to put a product out there. Good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, but I think more and more. Go ahead.
I think it was Babinski said it. He's like, we're going to pay what we think the job is worth, not necessarily like what the person's worth, I think. So it's, yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
The more and more I know, Tanner is very Danny Hope pro. And the more and more as we get away from it, the more and more I'm like, dang it, Morgan, why did you do that? I understand we were all mad in regards to how things were going.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it's the whole grass isn't always greener thing. I mean, we've seen it time and time again with, you know, whether it be a transfer or we see it with coaches. I mean, hell, Nebraska, they had Bo Pelini winning 8-9 games a year, and then they finally now have someone who is can get up there. Finally, it's been a while.
Correct. I continue to look back and say, Danny, this whole school did you wrong.
Yeah, we're sorry. Love Danny.
Yep. So, Daryl, I wish it would have worked out better.
And before we go, obviously, to thank our good friends at The Shop. I'm wearing my Playhard shirt. That was a Gene K. They have the Gene Pool from his last year, the head coach, the Gene Pool student section shirt. Looks awesome. Basketball with a comb over. Love it. But if you're an indie, make sure you stop by their 3 retail locations. You got one in Carmel, one in Broadripple, one in downtown Indy. They're gearing up for the 500. They're pumping out some awesome designs. They make incredible shirts, especially for obviously schools all across the state. If you're looking for something, you can go to theshopindy.com. Use promo code breakdown. You get 25% off your entire order. And with that said, we got a game tomorrow. Boilers versus Bruins. What is it? 8 o'clock Eastern. Yep, on
8 o'clock.
On Fox.
Yep, it's Fox. It's national broadcast.
God, tomorrow. I hope we don't have.
No, it's not going to be Gus. I don't think it's Gus Johnson tomorrow. I think it's Jason.
There's Robbie. I hope so, but it's like literally the only top 25 game on tomorrow. But yeah, I hope it's Robbie and yeah, hopefully Jason Benetti. But boiler up, hammer down, beat the Bruins. Let's do it.
Boiler up.